Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, God, to speak to us. God, there's such a theme that's running throughout what you're doing in this day, in this hour. Lord, it's inescapable. We turn one way and you're saying the same thing to other people, to other groups, oh Father, and you're speaking to us. God, it's no accident that we're in Ephesians chapter 2 this morning, Father. Thank you for strengthening our steps. Thank you, God, for allowing us to look clearly at where we are and where we're going as Christians. And Father, we thank you that you set us free, that you gave us peace, that you did all that you would promise that you would do. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a clipboard, too, if you want to pass that around, Terry. If you would like a copy of the reading sent to you so you can put it on your phone or electronic device, please do that, and we'll send it out to you on Tuesday, either email or by message. You could put it there on the list. We're in Ephesians chapter 2 this morning, beginning in verse 14. Ephesians 2 and verse 14. Let me read it to you out of the New King James, Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and those who were near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. May God bless to us the reading of his word. Division is everywhere now today. There's more division in this country. One of the biggest magazines, I think I mentioned last week, Christianity Today, came out with an article really dissing Christians that didn't agree with them because they are demanding that President Trump be deposed, be impeached, and accusing him of all sorts of things that he wasn't guilty of. He has been guilty of some things. Nobody agrees with everything he does. But that division has started now. If you've been keeping up with it, people are putting their 2 cents worth in. And what was a division between Christians and the world is now even greater between Christian and Christian. We're dividing. The dividing lines are becoming thicker. Darkness and light becoming more obvious in our hour, and it's time to do something about it. Christ did not come to divide the church. He came to unite the church. He came to divide. He says, I did not come to, you know, for peace. I came to send fire. There's divisions that will take place, and we'll talk about that today. But we need to remember Christ is our peace. Christ is our peace. It's he that's our peace, not the way we think or who we worship with or what we do, what we believe. The Baptist, the Presbyterian, there are brothers and sisters. Come on, someone. Certainly, peace does not come from the law or human merit, law and works or sacrifices. He is the Prince of Peace. Just a couple of scriptures. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace, the progenitor of peace. He's the embodiment of peace. And we need to pray. Sure, there's going to be division. Sure, there's going to be people that disagree. But we must hold on to love and peace, because that's going to get us through this next tumultuous time that we're running into in this nation. John 14:27 says, peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. One of the things that's happening because of the divisiveness and because of the infighting is fear is beginning to grip us as a nation. It's always been around. Fear has always been around. But now it's become king of a lot of people's lives. People fear doing things. People fear what the future holds. The latest poll of our youngest children in school right now fear that the world will not even be here in 12 years. Come on, somebody. They bought the lie that the environmental things are going to ruin this world, and so they won't even experience adulthood. Can you imagine? Come on, someone. He's our peace. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So rather than get all excited about what's happening, we should realize it's a sign of the times. It's a sign of the times. This divisiveness in the world will continue to grow. It just will. But in the body of Christ, we need to be one. We need to put away our differences and join together in building a place that reconciliation can happen. Repentance can happen. There's a whole group of people that have yet to come to Christ that need to come to Christ. The hour is getting late. They need to be saved. Our prodigals. If we were to go around the room and say, how many people are believing for prodigals in your family? Let me see a hand of your believing. Look around the room. The people that have fallen away for one reason or another. Mainly because we've been playing too many games at church. This is not a game. This is life and death. And we could have never done it with turmoil and strife. And we're not going to be able to do it with turmoil and strife. That's why Christ came to give us peace. He reconciled between Gentile and Jew, between God and man, between black and white, between Baptist and Pentecostal. He came to reconcile all of that. 2020 needs to be a year we sow unity. It needs to be a year that we go back to humility. When Paul penned this letter, it was a hate-filled society that they lived in. The Jew hated the Gentile, and the Gentile hated the Jew. On a sign right outside the tabernacle in Jerusalem said this, "No foreigner or Gentile may enter within the barricade which surrounds the sanctuary and enclosure. Anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his ensuing death." You imagine that on a religious building. We say, oh, how terrible that is, but has not the church put signs up in the Spirit the same way? Has not the church said, unless you're this way, unless you're the way we want you to be, stay away? And what's the end of those that stay away? Death. God came to reconcile. No sin will keep people away, no matter what they've done. God will forgive them and draw them. Come on, someone. We are seeing a great divide in the religious world. There must be divisions among us in some ways. 1 Corinthians 11:19 says, "For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you." Read an article just yesterday in studying. I read an article by a famous pastor in that said we need to stop worrying about homosexuality as sins and abortion as sins. We need to embrace people and accept that. It was a well-written article. And if you don't have a relationship with God, you'd almost buy it. And thousands are buying it. Those divisions must take place. They must be exposed. Come on, somebody. And we need to allow God to do that. Because God will do that. In the meanwhile, we need to build bridges and love each other, the only requirement for going to heaven that I can read is to repent and receive Christ into your heart. Not the songs you sing or the church you attend. Christ died so much more than for sin. So much more than for sin. He died for sin, that's right. But he died for all these things that we're talking about. He wanted us to be one. And matter of fact, his impassioned prayer in John 17, if you read it, his impassioned prayer to the Father, that they, you and I, be one as I and you are one. Christ abolished the enmity, it says in verse 15. Hatred and animosity is enmity. The law separates. Grace unites. You know, the bottom line is we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are in need of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ made it effective to make one new man, to bring all together in Christ. Christ is not divided. Christ is one. We are called to be one with Him. The blood of Christ makes us one. The sacrifice was not given just to get us to heaven. The sacrifice was given so that we rule and reign now on this earth. If you want an example of a way a country will go without the church taking its ruling and reigning place, look at America. Look at America. Because we've allowed the world to do what the world does. It's time for us to influence. It's time for us to pray. It's time for us to ask Jesus to enact that oneness that He died for. Verse 16 says, that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. Every ordinance was fulfilled by Jesus' death. Colossians 2:14 says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. He wiped out the requirements. That's for you and me. We think we've got a corner on righteousness. No, He died to make all righteous. Anybody that calls on the name of the Lord is righteous. It's not because of them, it's because of Jesus Christ, and He made them one with us. All are one in Christ. It's talking about, in this passage of Scripture, it's talking about the Gentile and Jew, but it means so much more than that. All of us have prejudice one way or another. We may think differently of people, and we don't need to continue to do that. We need to embrace people. They're our brothers and sisters. Come on. There is no difference in you or I. We are all one in Christ. And He fulfilled everything. It almost seems too simple when we hear the message. Jesus died for our sins. Put it under the blood, made us new creations, made us one, and we'll all be one together. It almost seems too simple to actually believe, because we want to make it more complicated, but it is no more simple than that. And we want to make it complicated because it's such a fascinating thing. It's got to be complicated. It can't be that easy. But it is. And we see today rearing its ugly head, two extremes, one legalism, and the other, liberty. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We nitpick. We accuse people of things because they don't live the life that we think they should live. Come on, somebody. Well, that guy can't be a Christian. He does this. That girl can't be a Christian. She does that. unless it's specific sins that are pointed out in the Word, it's just a different lifestyle. Come on, someone. Am I preaching the right people tonight? No place for legalism in the body of Christ. We put demands on people. We can't do that. And it's a fault that lies with a lack of relationship with the Father. The Jews of the day, of Paul's in Paul's writing, the Judaists came in to talk the people out of the liberty that they got in Jesus Christ. Want them to come under the law and obey all these things. Are not the same things happening in the church today? And if it's not legalism, it's liberty. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? A large amount of the church is embracing the things of the world. Come on, somebody. Even the current pope is embracing the things of the world. Somebody that was counted on to be a holy man of God, saying abortion is okay, saying alternate lifestyles are okay. Come on, someone. It's hard to move against the grain, but it's easy in Jesus. It's easy in Jesus. If we're not under the grace of God, we're under the law of God. We'll be judged by either. The law gives a slave mentality. We have to. We must. There's a certain things we have to do. Listen, God wants us to want to, not have to. God didn't make us slaves. He made us sons and daughters. Come on, somebody. We're His children. The law says we've got to pray more, we've got to read more, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. It's not enough. It's not enough. And grace talks about grace. The law of grace, the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, encourages us to act on the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're defined not by what we do, but who we are. Or what we know. We could get all excited about somebody that knows a lot of things, but who we are in Christ is important. Come on, somebody. Being under the law is control. We want to control things. We have rules and regulations. If you want to be a member of this church, there's rules and regulations. Not this church, but there's rules and regulations you've got to live by. Seeking to control others' lives. I've got enough control my own life. Come on, somebody. I don't want to control somebody else's life. And I'll tell you what, I've been criticized for that. Well, you got to put demands on people. Well, if they're not going to do it, all the demands in the world's not going to help. You know what that's called? That's called behavioral science. If I change your behavior, make you look like a Christian, then everything will be okay. But how many know it's from the inside out? You could act a certain way and nobody knows what's going on inside. I got to let that to the Holy Spirit. See, there is authority in the body of Christ, but not control. God does not seek to control us. He seeks to love us. Jealousy is under the law. We get jealous of somebody else that maybe gets attention or knows more or does more. Come on, somebody. We make heroes. Where did we get to? Church, where did we get to? We see a worship, somebody that leads worship. The lights go low. Spotlight comes out, person comes out, you know, regal with things shining and singing and everybody's worshiping the person. Come on, somebody. And we encourage that kind of activity. We make heroes all the time. Come on, someone. No competition, but unity. Under the law, there's competition. Jesus said it about the Pharisee and the Gentile praying. Priest pounding his chest. Lord, thank you that you made such a good man as me. And the Gentile saying, please forgive me for my sins. Come on, somebody. Under the law is lust. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me. How many know we love? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He put enmity to death. He ended the reign of hatred pent up in man. The same hatred that caused Cain to kill Abel has run rampant in our society for too long. He came to put an enmity to death. Put enmity to death. He assumed the sin of mankind so mankind could assume the role of sons and daughters. His victory guides our existence. It's in His victory. And in verse 17 it says, and He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and those who were near. His peace is ours. His peace is a strong force in our lives. Christ did not come to send turmoil and strife and anxiety and worry, doubt, unbelief. All of those things He came to die for to remove from us so He could give us His peace. His peace negates sins, guilt, and turmoil. 2020 needs to be a year when we hate sin as much as our Father hates it. Come on, somebody. We need to hate sin. We need to stay away from those that do those sorts of things. We need to pray for them. Love the prayer that we prayed this morning. Remove them and give them a road to Damascus experience. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says, I certainly did not mean that the sexually immoral people of this world are with covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, covetous, idolater, reviler, drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. Those are the divisions that need to be made. People playing with religious games, building religious edifices, they need to be exposed and closed down. Because all they're doing is confusing those that are seeking the Lord. Come on. They're not saving people. They're guaranteed that people will not be saved. They're guaranteeing people not be saved. That kind of division needs to be exposed. Dividing and leading people astray. This whole passage is reminding us of what Christ came to do. And if He came to do that and to fulfill in us peace, love, forgiveness of sins, and set us in a right place, who are we to argue with that? Who are we to allow things in our lives? It's the good time for us to do a survey, and I'm encouraging you this week. Just a minute, I'm going to ask that you come pray with me at the altar that you and I not be any kind of a blockage for what God wants to do in this coming months. That we go with His flow, that we make sure that we're pure. Come on, it's quiet in here. But it needs to be. We need to look at our hearts again. We need to do a spiritual inventory. that we would be everything that God wanted us to be. I encourage you today to look at your habits. Go through what you spend your time doing. Jettison habits that are not glorifying God. Monday, tomorrow, as you're fasting, what are your thoughts on? What do you think about when you wake up in the morning? What are you thinking about during the day? Is there hate? Is there animosity? You get all upset about what's going on CBS and NBC. Those are all wrong things. Come on, somebody. We need to be informed, but we need to realize God is still God. No, He's still on the throne. Nothing is missing His purview. His eyes are catching every move. How many believe God's in control? He is in control. And then Tuesday, think about the words that you speak. Maybe write down things that come out of your mouth and say, I don't want to say that anymore. Come on, somebody. Negative words lead to negative things. Hateful words lead to hateful things. We create. We're like our father. Come on, somebody. We're sons and daughters. When we speak, we create. So we need to speak love and peace and joy. Then on Wednesday, first day of the new year, what are our actions? How do people see us? Come on, someone. We are an epistle read by all men. We can't change the whole world. We can't do it. The only one that can change the whole world is God. But we can change us and those that we influence. Come on, somebody. We could be a good example for those around us and be at peace within our hearts as much as we can to live not a life of hypocrisy, but a life of oneness with God. I'm going to begin to pray. Would you please come with me? Let's just set our hearts for this coming year to be people that allow God to bring His peace, love, and joy to our hearts. So, Father, I thank You. Come with me and pray. Lord, I thank You this morning. God, search my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Search my heart today, God. Lord, put Your microscope in my spirit, Father. Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, God, I confess it to You today. I bring it to You today, Lord. In Jesus' name. Let's worship together. John's going to play something, and let's worship together and spend just the next few minutes crying out to God.
Savior, You have brought me here. You pulled me.
God, that you are able to restore everything to us, God. You're able to restore all to us, oh God, this morning. Father, you restore all to us, God, as we confess before you. We leave everything here at the altar today, God. Lord, oh God, we want your peace that passes all understanding, that would guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We want your joy, God, joy inexpressible and full of glory. God, that we might be sons and daughters that reflect your glory. Reflect your glory, God. Your promises, God. You promised us, God, that we'd be victorious. We want to experience victory in our lives, oh God. In every area of our life, our thought life, God. God, oh Father, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, God. Cleanse our thoughts this morning, God.
My confidence.
Thank you, Jesus.
Is your faithfulness. I will rest in your promises. My confidence.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is your faithfulness. And I will rest.
Thank you, Jesus.
In your promises. My
yes, God. Yes, and amen in Christ.
Thank you.
Faithful God.
Yes,
God. Yes, God. Yes, Lord, faithful. You will always be faithful in our lives, God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we pray today, God, all these things we leave at the altar, God. We ask, oh Father, that 2020 be a year that we would shine and reflect your glory. Lord, that we would see your glory come. Lord, oh Father, to beautify your church once again. God, we want to be part of that. We want to be part of that beautifying, God. So, Father, we commit to praying, to staying with you, reflecting your glory. Lord, that this year would be the best year we've yet experienced. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everyone said amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Happy New Year to you.
We say yes and amen. Oh, my Father.